Radio.com.
Trace Rios Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rios, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rios Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRioSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at WesternWishes.org.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
This is 4 Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. And now, She's Gone Country with Becky Christensen Phillips.
Been playing at a room on the strip for 10 years in Vegas. Every night she looks in the mirror and she only ages. She's been reading about Nashville and all the records that everybody's buying. 'Cause I'm a simple girl myself, grew up on Long Island. So she packs her bags to try her hand. Says this might be my last chance. She's gone country. Look at them boots. She's gone country. Back to her roots. She's gone country. A new kind of suit. She's gone country.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen Phillips, and I just want to say thank you so much if you are tuning in this evening. There's a few ways you can find our station and listen to us each week, and the first way is always by calling into our live line on Monday nights at 6 o'clock, and that's 347-857-3760, and you're welcome every week to visit with us and our guests that we have on for that particular Monday. You just have to press 1 to come into the host queue, and Maria, our producer, will let me know you're there. You can also find us on the internet, and you can stream at www.blogtalkradio.com/4radio, and that's F-O-R-E, radio. Find the red booth, click the booth, and you'll be streaming live, and you can even visit with our in our chat room. Usually we're on there and we can visit back and answer any questions that you have or bring those on to the show live. But that's the way you find us. If you've missed a show and you want to catch an archive, you can always go back to Blog Talk and listen to the on-demand episodes there. Or, of course, visit our website at She's Gone Country, U.S., www.she'sgonecountry.us. Sorry about that. And you'll see our radio show page. You just click the page, and all our on-demand episodes are right there for you to enjoy at your leisure. So be sure to tune in and find us. Find us on Facebook, and make sure that you give us your feedback on what you think of the show or what you'd like to hear or what you'd like to maybe talk about or if any interesting stories you know of that you want us to check into. We'd love to hear from you. I also want to say thank you tonight, of course, to our sponsors. Our station sponsors, of course, are B&B Builders and Remodeling and the Ambassador Pageant, as well as Higher Scent. We would like to say thank you to our show sponsors that continue to support us week after week, and that's Trace Rios Silver, Trinity Wellness, cowboyupenergy, and tobeaccountable.com. So we have several sponsors. We have more coming on. We appreciate you, and we thank you so much. But before we get going tonight, I just want to say welcome on my guest tonight and my co-host. Sorry about that. Tonight with me is my beautiful co-host, Vicki Christensen-O'Shield. Vicki, are you there?
I am, Vicki. Good evening, everyone. So happy you could all join us. It's going to be a great program.
And, of course, with us also tonight is our other beautiful guest co-host, and that's Donalyn Quintana. Donalyn, are you there?
Whoops, I was on mute. Hi.
Good evening. I think it's going to be a nice interview again tonight.
Oh, how are you ladies doing?
Good.
Yeah, Texas, bringing calmer weather? Is it still raining down there? Are you there? Hello?
Well, are you talking to me? It was pouring buckets here in Weatherford, Texas. But it's sun shining and it's beautiful, but we got lots of moisture and the ranchers and farmers are very happy.
Oh, good. Well, I know that I've seen Facebook posts all over Texas, my friends from Texas, and I think they've said that they've been praying for rain, so it's an answer prayer. On the other hand, it's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful up here in Spokane, and we have definitely are starting to see summer, so that's awesome. And we have the largest Hoop Fest 3-on-3 basketball tournament starting next week, so that should be fun and entertaining. So anyway, let's just get on with it, huh? We've got a great show tonight. We've got a great guest coming joining us tonight, and I'm not going to say a whole bunch about him because I want him to introduce himself and share with our audience all about what he does and where he's from. But we are visiting with Generation Ranch Race Texan from Columbus, Texas. And he is a saddle bronc rider. He is an author. He is a radio personality. We are welcoming to the show Herman Broom. Herman, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
How are you tonight?
Oh, just sneaking along. I'm, doing pretty good, I reckon.
Oh, well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I don't know if I shared with you when we talked previously, but Blog Talk is a worldwide platform because it's internet-based. Yep. So we have listeners from all over. They call in from Mexico. They call in from Crete. They call in from Canada, as well as over the U.S. So people that are listening may know who you are, but a lot of listeners won't. So I just asked if you could please tell our audience who Herman Broom is.
Well, okay, yes, ma'am. I'm an author, I'm a writer, and a rancher down here near Columbus, Texas. Grew up here on the family home place. I was always a pretty good student in school, but I like being outside a whole lot more than I enjoyed, and that's still a problem with me today. Most of the stuff that I write gets written after dark, and I've got a terrible habit of trying to work all day and write all night. You can't do that very long. You just wear out. But a lot of the stuff that I write gets written at night. And then, I grew up, I was a big reader when I was a student, when I was a kid. Couldn't get books out of my hands. I read all the time. And I guess because of the time that we all grew up in, when you respected your elders, you believed all this stuff that you read. And, if a grown-up was saying it, it must be true. And, I grew up and I read Will James and I read Lone Cowboy and I read all these books. And then I realized years and years later, I found they reprinted Will James's books. And I picked one up to get for my daughter. And I thought, well, now, this is a book I read when I was in seventh grade, and she was about seventh grade, and that was about the time they reprinted that book, and I bought it for her. And I thought, she's going to get a kick out of what I used to enjoy. And before I gave it to her, I read it again, and it was just a little bit almost spooky because upon reading it again, I hadn't read that book since I was in the seventh grade, and when I read it again, I felt like I had taken so many of the things that Will James did throughout his life, and I tried to emulate those things. It seemed like everything except that going to the penitentiary part, I didn't care to try to do that. But yeah, you know, that didn't seem like a good idea. But you know, I went to Montana in 1978. I left this South Central Texas and went to Northern Montana in 1978. I spent a summer up there working with a bunch of folks and making friends. Made a lot of friends up there in the Shoto Augusta country up there on the eastern front of the Rockies, right there outside the Bob Marshall Wilderness. And then I did that in about 78, and then throughout the 80s, I'd go up there and I'd mess around with all my buddies. And one of them became an outfitter and needed some help, so I started helping him. And after a number of years, I found myself living in the wilderness up there in the Bob. You know, you take fly fishermen in starting right around 4th of July, and then July and half of August, most of August, you'd have 6 fly fishing trips that you'd pack into the Bob, and then you'd spend that last week of August and a little bit of September getting your hunting camp in, because your early rifle season started. We had an early season hunting camp at that time in the Middle Fork of the Flathead. And we'd fly fish on the Sun, we'd fly fish on the Middle Fork of the Flathead, and then we'd go up to some of those glacial lakes that were up there on the Chinese Wall and some of those places. And what it turned out was, it seemed like there was quite a few years that I'd come home close to Thanksgiving, and I got, I don't know, anybody that watches a lot of outdoor television may be familiar with Larry Wyson, and he's actually from Columbus as well. If anybody watches all the hunting shows, they would be familiar with Larry, and he's also from Columbus. He's also a second cousin. And he introduced me to a gentleman, and through a roundabout way, after a little while, I found myself leaving Montana at Thanksgiving and guiding in Old Mexico for 2 months. So I would actually spend 7 months out of the year, guiding. And that was pretty cool. But then, I was still riding saddle broncs whenever I could. Still sneaking off and going to rodeos when I could. And I hit a spot, though, when I was about 35, and I said, I'm sleeping under a tree. I'm doing everything the way I ever dreamed about doing, living like I'm in the 1800s. The problem with that being that at the turn of the century, the average lifespan for a guy was to about 49. And at the time, I was looking at that thinking, I ain't going to make it. And, I said, I need to wise up here. And I need to wise up, and I need to start using my head a little bit. I'm riding broncs. I'm living out here packing mules and doing all that stuff. I said, I need to wise up. So that's whenever the writing stuff started. And went back to Texas A&M University and sharpened up my writing skills, which was always my favorite thing to do. And just kind of went from there. Okay, I've been blabbering long enough. Y'all ask some questions.
We appreciate it, though. It gives us good foundation, and it gives us a real good understanding of your history, because everybody has a story and everybody has something to share, but there's always, sometimes there's just not enough minutes and an hour to get it all out there. So I really like to hear from our guests a little bit about themselves and let them talk a little bit, because it just paints a pretty good clear picture, more than just what a bio says about somebody. So we appreciate that. But we're just about 15 of the hour, so I'll tell you what, why don't we take a quick commercial break, and then when we get back, I've got some questions for you, and I'm sure Aunt Vicki and Donna Lynn do as well. So we'll be right back.
Yes.
ForRadio.com.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Since 1997, Tres Rios Silver has been providing custom handmade trophy buckles at an affordable price. Family owned, your business is important to us. We are big enough to meet your needs, but small enough to provide that personal touch. Give us a call today at 800-550-7535 and speak with someone on our design staff. Or go online to www.tresriosilver.com. Let us help you design your next trophy buckle. That's Tres Rios Silver, Llano, Texas. Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
ForRadio.com.
Welcome back to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen Phillips, and joining me tonight is my guest co-host, Donalyn Quintana, and my co-host, Vicki Christensen of Shields. And we ladies have been visiting and welcoming to the show tonight Mr. Herman Broom. Herman, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, we thank you so much for joining us tonight, and we were just visiting before we went to commercial break. You had an opportunity to share with our audience and with us just a little bit of history about who Herman Broom is, where you've been, what you've done, where you're going. And the first question that I have, and then I'll turn it over to Vicki and Donalyn if they have some questions, but there was two things that caught my attention in what you were saying. And,
yes.
You know, the first thing I wanted to ask you is you made the comment that at 35, that you decided, you know, you wanted to live a little longer than the average lifespan. So you switched gears, and that's when your writing came in, and then you went back to school. Share with
yes.
our audience, was that how? What was that like to go back to college at 35? Because I know there's a lot of folks out there, especially in the way the economy has went, and, you know, we went through this downturn and this recession and coming out of it. There's a lot of people that had to change jobs, and I know at an age of 35 and older, that becomes a scary process to think about going back to school and starting over and learning something. What was that
yes,
like
ma'am.
For you?
Oh, it was great. Now, what I ought to point out is I had that idea when I was 35, but I didn't really get it all the way acted on until I was 39. And
wow,
I sat here and chewed on it for a long time before I really got after it. And I had some help. I had a little bit of help. I mean, I talked about it with just the right people, and had a lady who was a high school counselor that really pushed me to go do it. And I had already, you know, and the deal was, if you're going to do that, I think this is what you're asking me. If you're older, or, you know, if you're always, if there's something you always wanted to do, and it was always something interesting to you, and it's, you know, hell, go do it. You know, I went back to Texas A&M, and I had taken all their animal science classes back in the mid-70s, and then I left before I was done and went to Montana. I just couldn't sit still that long. And, you know, when I came back, I changed my major from animal science to agricultural communications, and it allowed me to take all their journalism classes. And as I said, for me myself, writing is an art. It's a skill. It's an art. It's not just a trade. It's a skill. And I revere the guys like Hemingway and Robert Rurick and the guys who can, you know, there's just a slew of those guys out there that can just, you can't put the book down once you get started. And I love that type of writing and the feeling that every piece has got to be better than the last one. And, you know, you never achieve perfection. And, you know, writing to me is like the ultimate art. And I'm getting carried away on this, but I think what
That's
you know,
all right.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I you know, of course, I love Texas A&M. I'm a big Texas Aggie, and you know, it's the best school in the state as far as I'm concerned. I was so proud of my daughter when she decided she didn't go to A&M, but when she left high school here in Texas, she had two grandparents that offered her offered to send her to Ivy League schools. And she just looked at me and she said, "Well, Daddy, why would I ever leave Texas?" And I just, I was so proud.
Oh, gosh. This is Vicki Herman. And way back in February when we first talked about, you know, you coming on the program and visiting with us, I remember I sent you a copy of my family's book, The CB Cowboys. And in turn,
yes.
I got a copy of both of your books. And I have to tell you, I enjoyed them so much. The children's book you wrote, Christmas Tales from the Lost Rider. I had a hard time putting that one down, Herman. It was really great. And your book, A Good Author Paints a Picture in the Mind's Eye. Tell us about that book.
Okay, wait a minute. Ask the question again?
Well, I was just tell us a little bit about your children's book and Christmas Tales from the Lost
Rider. Oh, about the Christmas book?
Yeah, I love it.
Okay, all right. Now, you got to understand, there's two books. And the first book that I wrote was the Tales from the Lost Rider of Yell Pond Creek, which I live on Yell Pond Creek. And I got real lost one time, and that's how come I'm the Lost Rider. So that's all the little camp stories. Now, after that came, and that little book won the Texas Outdoor Writers Excellence in Craft Competition 2004. The other one is the Christmas Tales. Now, what? Now that book is actually is the last story that's in the first book. And what happened was, at that moment when I was 35, and I decided that I was going to start writing, but that's what I needed to do, start using my head to make a living a little bit. I said, well, what am I going to write about? And I thought, well, I'm just going to write about my experiences. So I said, well, what's the most outlandish experience I've had up till this point? And I thought, well, I guess, you know, it's what happens every Christmas. And so I said, that's what I'll do. I'll write about what happens every Christmas. And so that was probably the first story I wrote. And but I went ahead and wrote all those other little camp stories, and then I put those in a book, and I got it out there. And I had all these hunters and everybody who had been reading the Christmas stories telling me, well, you should be writing a book here. You know, you ought to put all these Christmas stories in a book by themselves. And I said, well, there's 35 short stories in the first book. I said, you know how many years it's going to take me to have enough Christmas stories to make a book? I said, it's just going to take too long. So I went to a bunch of the different outfitters that I've been associated with through the years, and I asked them to send me recipes. And I got one of the guys from Mexico, and then two of them from Montana and one from Wyoming. And all these outfitters sent recipes. Then my daughter at the time was a sophomore or junior in high school. She took all these recipes, put them in order, edited them for consistency, and picked which ones to put in that book. So between every Christmas story, there's 12 Christmas stories, and between every Christmas story, there's four recipes.
It's fantastic. I mean, it is so unique, so different, and just so much fun. Loved it.
Thank you. And when I do these little book signings, that's what you'll see is numerous times I've noticed I'll have a gentleman come up, especially if you do it around, you know, after Thanksgiving, and you do a book signing, and a gentleman will walk up and he'll buy one of the camp books, and a little while he'll come drifting back, and he'll have looked at it a little bit, decided it doesn't make good Christmas presents, he'll buy four or five more. And just exactly the same thing happens with the Christmas books, except that's the one the ladies like. The ladies like the Christmas book, and I don't know if it's because of the nature of the stories or the recipes, but I think it's probably a combination of both.
I have to tell you, Herman, for me, it was definitely the combination of both. And what intrigued me about the recipes were the stories. Because the stories are what I did first. Then I went back to look at the recipes.
Yes. Well, I appreciate that. I'll thank you.
Well, now, Herman, this is Becky. I have a question, though. So let's talk about, you know, you have your two books, and a lot of them you said are short stories about your guide. Tell our listeners a little bit about what a guide looks like. I mean, because we have, like I said, we have a lot of listeners from all over. If they were to call you up and say, I want you to take me on a guided tour, what is it they're signing up for?
Oh, okay. Like, for so many years, we'd go into Bob, you know, I was helping the boys up north and going into the Bob Marshall. And now I'm in the Washakie Wilderness down in Wyoming, in northwestern Wyoming, about an hour and a half east of Jackson, and it's a little southwest of Cody, Wyoming. And the Bob, when we were in the Bob, we were up above Shoto. We'd go in from the eastern front right at the Puyer, and it's right below the Blackfeet Reservation, and that's where we'd go in. Okay, so these deals like this, I'm going to describe the one in the Bob because it was a little bit more dramatic. The Washakie is beautiful, too. I mean, it's all beautiful country, but the Bob was actually a little more dramatic because when we left Shoto, you know, Shoto only had your hunters, your fishermen, whoever was coming would come into Great Falls, Montana, and, you know, either fly in or drive in or whatever, you get your hunters, you get them out to Shoto, and you know, now Shoto has only got about 1,500 people. And then the trailhead, I guess, is 40-something miles from town. You go up the road towards Blackfeet Reservation, 20-something miles, and then you turn off and you it's 20-something miles down a gravel road and you get to the trailhead. And can y'all hear that dog? I'm going to shoot that dog. No. You load your mules there. You get everybody there. You know, you leave Shoto at dark 30 in the morning. You try to get out there to the trailhead somewhere, you know, right before daylight. You start catching your mules. You start saddling all your mules. You've already got a lot of your duffel loads made up with all your hunters or fishermen's loads made up in duffel, and you've got all your grocery loads made up, and get everybody horseback, and you know, get them all adjusted to their saddle, and then you take off. If you're going on a fishing trip, it could be anywhere from a 6, 8 to 10 day fishing trip, where you go on in and go fish the Sun River, go fish the Middle Fork of the Flathead, something like that, and go up and down, you know, go traveling through every day, move about 14, 15 miles, or every other day move 14, 15 miles, see something different, see a little different country. And, you know, the guides would be taking care of you the whole way. They'd be taking care of you horseback. They'd be taking care of your duffling stuff, helping you set up camp. And it would be a wilderness, you know, there's no fun. That's the beauty of it, you know. And one of the things I used to write about is how genuine it made people be to go without a telephone for 8 or 10 days.
That was what my next question was, is do you get a lot of the let's just call it, as I said to Manavik, let's just call it thing a thing, the city slickers and those that aren't really familiar with the terrain or the fishing that are just trying to experience that, or do you get a lot of those?
Yeah, certainly. No, you get. I mean, you'll have a lot of folks that, and as time goes on, we see more of that. I think when I first started doing this back, you know, 20-something years ago, the people who could afford these things were retired people, and what you saw 25 years ago, you saw so many retired folks who had some idea about farm life or ranch life or being around horses. They may have lived their entire life in a city, but they had some connection to rural America. And 25 years down the road, we see more and more people who don't have that connection but are looking for it, you know. And the only thing is you see that they're not as familiar with the horses and stuff like that. But it's interesting that you'll always have people looking for that type of connection. You get them past their initial fear and, you know, and just go have a good time. And, you know, and it's all good. It's all good. You know, we're there to make sure that, you know, that a person will realize once they get into that setting and they realize, okay, I'm 50 miles from town, now I'm 20 miles from the truck, and I'm out here with the grizzly bears and the wolves now. I need this cowboy here to kind of watch out for me a little bit, because the most I want to do is I want to stay dry, I want to stay warm, and I want plenty to eat. And then I don't want this horse to, you know, to do something ugly to me. So people become, you know, looking for the basics.
Awesome. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We've been visiting with Herman Brune, and we're going to do a station identification. But when we come back, we will continue on and hear more about all his adventures and his guiding his tours. We'll be right back.
ForRadio.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016. She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Trust Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trust Rio's, our only limit is your imagination. That's Trust Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535 or find us on the web, TrustRioSilver.com. Proud to be part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
ForRadio.com.
Welcome back to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen Phillips, and joining us tonight is my co-host, Becky Christensen O'Shields, and my guest co-host, Donalyn Quintana. And we ladies have been visiting and spending the hour with Herman Brune and hearing all about his books and his history of the rodeo and saddlebunk riding. And as of late, he's guided hunts that he does. And sorry, Herman, I keep calling them tours because I want to say hunts, but you do hunting, but you also do fishing and other type of hunts, correct?
Oh, yes, ma'am. We guide fly fishermen in the summertime. Summer trips up in the, you know, that we did up in the Bob Marshall Wilderness. And I have helped outfitters a little bit with some down in the Washakie Wilderness in Wyoming as well. Yes, ma'am. Summer
awesome.
Trips.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you know, I got to ask you because you said that just something else. I'll turn it over again to Donalyn and Vicki in just a second, and also just see if you have some callers that want to come on the air. And remember, callers, if you're listening, you just need to press 1, and you'll come into the host queue, and Maria will let us know you're on the air, so you can come on and visit with Herman as well. So, Herman, you said something that really just intrigued me because, She's Gone Country with Becky is all about returning to our roots and empowering everyday cowboys and cowgirls who love God, who love country, who love the Western way of life, to inspire those who don't so that we can help keep the heart of the American cowboy alive. And I think you hit it on the head when you said that people are – it may have been in the city all their life, but there's something that's familiar to them about rural America, and that they're looking for it, and they're searching for something, and they're searching for that connection. What do you tell us a little bit about that? Expound on that a little bit, because you know I think with our technology and in this day and age, you know, it's so important that we do stay connected to our roots and do stay connected to rural America simply for that fact, and that's what we're all about. So how do you feel about all that?
Yes, ma'am. Okay, you don't get me. I can talk all night. All right, when these guys would come into camp, you had a camp full of businessmen up in the Bob for 8 days or in Washkia, it doesn't matter. Anywhere, you take someone off in the wilderness for 8 days and you remove them from their telephone. And what you'd see is the first couple of days that they are in there, and especially the first day, you know, when they say you got a group of six guys and it may be two, and two, and they're all meeting each other, and they're talking about the things that they know about. They're talking about their immediate interests in business and what's happening to them, and they're worried about, you know, did they leave certain things with their secretary to do, and you know, and they're worried about just the day-in, day-out type things. And then, as I said, once they get into camp, they look around and they start seeing, okay, I need to worry about staying dry, staying warm, having something to eat, and now we're going to get to go hunt. And so they start breaking down what is really essential to them. And over the course of 8 days, they become more and more in touch with these things, and I mean with their guides, and just doing things on a basic level. And what I've always said that I've seen that is impressive to me is that, you know, if I'm guiding two rifle hunters and it's snowing and it's blizzard blowing out there and I'm tucked up under a spruce tree and got us a little fire going, everybody gets to know each other really well. And, you know, and we get to depending on each other and they know how much they have to depend on me. But by the end of the week, I hear these guys are no longer talking about so much about their business or the little things they need to do. They start talking more about their kids. They start talking more about their wives. They start looking forward to going home, and their problems have been diminished. They've been able to prioritize what is the big things in their life, what is the most meaningful things in their life. And that's where I always said, you know, as much as we're guides, we're also therapists with some of these people. And, you know, because by the time they go out of the mountains, they're, you know, hopefully, you know, they get to take a trophy home and show off a big set of horns to everybody. But then also, you know, they're going home with kind of a new clean slate. And, you know, and have kind of gotten their life back in order a little bit. And, you know, to me, that was more, I felt better about that than I did about getting a trophy. I mean, I certainly went out and tried to get them a trophy, but I felt good about if they had a good time and I made a lifelong friend and look forward to seeing them again next year. And, you know, and that's kind of what it's about. And, you know, and they're you know, go ahead.
Awesome. And Vicki, Donalyn, how are you ladies? Do you got anything you want to add?
Well, this is Vicki Herman, and I do, but Donalyn, go ahead. Have you got something on your mind? Are you there, Donalyn? That's the wonderful thing about live radio. I do. You know, something I wanted to visit with you about, Herman, was that the video, Your America, and that was just like, wow, that was way cool. Tell us about that video. It's on YouTube, and all of our listeners can find it. It's very cool, very cool. It's about what's in our hearts in the country.
Well, you know, okay, let me explain a little bit about some of that stuff. You know, it's all about writing. I got into the writing stuff, and you know, I also do radio work. I've got a radio program down here. I've got a weekly program on my local KULM 98.3 here in Columbus. It's news from the camp house. But now what I do is I mix up the creative stuff along with some of the what I call political conservation, and the Your America has been focused into a new project called Tomorrow's Child, and what we're doing is we're looking at video work. What we would like to do is we would like to ultimately produce a magazine format type program that looks at people's heritage. It looks at all the different ethnic, cultural heritages across America and what people are doing to preserve the cultural heritages that have made America great, as well as look at some of the technology, the advanced technology that we are using in industry to help conserve our natural resources. Did I make sense?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think it's important. I think it's awesome that you're doing that with Tomorrow's Child that you're working on, because it's a lot like what we're doing. It's all about, you'll hear us say, or you'll see on our Facebook post a lot, travel back in time to a new generation. And some people, they don't know, myself or Maria or Vicky, they don't really understand what that statement means. But if you look, for instance, on my Facebook page, my cover page is now, for She's Gone Country with Becky, is now a picture of my great-grandmother from a parade that she was in. And it's all about, because I love my grandfather so much, and I loved, the people that I was raised around and who they taught me to be. And it's all about traveling back to that generation and really grabbing a hold of your roots and really understanding where you came from and what they were all about and what it meant back then, because we're losing touch of it with the technology today as far as work ethic and family and connection and just loving the land that we live on and taking care of things. And so that's what traveling back in time to a new generation is, because we want to bring that generation back to where we are today and integrate it into today's society.
Yes. I was traveling to Wyoming one year and picked up the radio station out of E-City, and they had, whether it was Arapaho ceremonies. Of course, Arapaho and Shoshone are all together over there, and I think it was Arapaho ceremonies, but they were mixing English words into their ceremonies. And, it was very hard to understand, but when I got to my destination and I queried people about it, the people I asked about it knew, had heard of it, and said, yes, this was what they were doing, what the Indians over there were doing to keep their children interested in how these ceremonial dances and stuff are created. And all throughout America, there's stuff like that. I mean, it's not just Native Americans. It's everybody. It's everybody in this that's done this stuff. There's stories everywhere of
well, we're such a mosh-posh of different heritages, like you said, it's all about your heritage, and that's what makes America great. Is yes, there's them, for us, it's the American cowboy, and really treasuring what that represented back in the day, and what it means to represent today, and so it doesn't get lost. Just like for Native Americans and what it means for them, or even the immigrants that came over from wherever they came from, Germany or wherever. It's all about conceptualizing that into where we are with this generation, because if we don't, they will. This generation, my generation of kids and their next generation, they will not have a clue where they came from if we don't make sure that we leave something of a legacy and what it meant and get them interested in it, in their, what's important to them, which would be their iPhones, their self, their apps, their all their technology that they're using.
Right. And then on the other hand, that's social media, the technology you're talking about there. That's all this social media that bogs everybody down a little bit, because you can't get away from it. Everyone gets addicted to it. And then on the other hand, the good technology that I would like to show people is, and particularly, I guess because I'm over here, I'm so interested in water issues, and I grew up listening to Water Wars, and there's so much technology going on out there that's trying to conserve water and being able to conserve other natural resources and use, you know, and how this water conservation is going about. You know, a lot of this is going on. You see it at all the different universities. That's where I get all my information from. And then you go out and you see it applied in the field and with a lot of your oil and gas engineering.
Right.
Water,
you know, Herman.
Sorry, Becky.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Aunt Vicki. Go ahead.
I was just going to agree with Herman that, you know, water is such an issue, and it's becoming that way in all parts of the country, and it's historical. I mean, you know, back in the days of the great cattle drives across this country, water was, you know, that's where they needed to know that they would have water, you know, for their herds, for their horses. And here in Texas, we've been blessed with some rain here lately, but we need a whole lot more, and water is one of our most precious natural resources. So, hey, I understand completely, Herman.
Yes.
Well, and let's talk about that. We're going to take our last quick commercial break before the hour's up, but when we come back, let's talk a little bit more in depth about, you know, these types of issues and what we're seeing and what's being done about it. We'll be right back.
Yes.
4Radio.com.
Trace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rios, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRioSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at WesternWishes.org.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
4Radio.com.
Welcome back to She's Gone Country with Becky, and this is your host, Becky Christensen Phillips. I just want to say thank you again for tuning in with us this evening. If you are listening live and have any questions for our guest, we have about 10 minutes left with our guest, Herman Bruhn, and if you want to join us, just press 1 and Maria will let us know you're on the line. We've had a great show so far. I'm so blessed by Herman tonight and all the information he shared and the exciting life he's led. And we, just before the break, started talking about a passion of his that he's really, you know, focusing on right now and a program that he's building out called Tomorrow's Child. And, you know, Herman, I was reading a little bit about you on, it's called The Game Bag, and I found this online through the AWWC. And it's back in December of this last year, and they did an article on you. And, you know, they said that, there's a partner that says, Bruhn is also concerned over the quality of society in the future. He insists that it depends on today's youth. Culture and family values, he says, must be first priorities. His work on the Pursuit Channel project and his weekly radio show, Tales from the Bunkhouse, reflect those beliefs. So we just before break, we were talking about, you know, water conservation and how this Tomorrow's Child all, you know, twines into these social issues and these conservation issues. Tell us a little bit more about what you're doing and a little bit more about your concerns with water and what you're really working on these days.
Okay, we do a lot of this. This primarily comes out on my radio program. And then I take my radio program, I transpose it for the Gonzales Cannon newspaper as well as for the Colorado County Citizen. And we'll talk about a lot of these water issues as they come up. We'll talk about some of the technology that's going on that's coming out of, I always say this technology is coming out of the oil patch because that's where they need it the most. And you'll see outfits like General Electric are heavily involved, and there's a lot of new companies out there that are into filtration and desalination to purify water. I'll get you right here. If you really want to make a headline, you talk about toilet to tap. And they're talking about taking water in a lot of your municipalities and reusing it.
Mm.
And the fact is that makes a headline. The second fact is that it's been done for so long that it's kind of old news to all the people that are actually dealing with wastewater treatment. I mean, that has been going on for so long that it's not that big a deal. But you can still put that in a headline, and people will be just, you know, they'll go, oh, my God. And it's something that's been going on forever. And the technology is out there to take the worst kind of water in the world and to make it just pure drinking water. Wyoming was actually one of the first states that allowed for some of this frack water to be purified and put back into the cycle of being used again. But what they had to take account on was that their purification process not purify that water more than what was coming natural. Did I just make sense? In other words, if you purify that water too far and put it in a creek, it's not good either. You know, it's supposed to have type of nutrients in it. So anyway, that's, you know, we cover a lot of that. I think one of the stories I did recently was about the correlation between gas production and groundwater that was in Pavilion, Wyoming. There was a headline that said the EPA was pulling out of Pavilion, Wyoming. They had gone and studied the correlation between gas production and groundwater. I talked to some of our railroad commissioners here in Texas, and they said the same thing happened in Texas. The same thing was happening in Pennsylvania, where there was gas production, and there was this argument about whether or not the gas production was corrupting the groundwater. So I knew people in Pavilion, Wyoming. I went over there, and the first thing we did was we looked at the geography. Pavilion, Wyoming is right between Yellowstone and Thermopolis. There is no reason in the world for those people to have good groundwater. And the only reason there is gas production there is because as they tried to drill water wells back in the 50s, they kept hitting pockets of gas, which attracted Shell Oil Company to come out and put in this gas production. But in the days now when you have an anti-fracking people who are just solely against fracking, they latched onto that and went coast to coast with it, saying, you know, Wyoming, everybody thinks of Wyoming, they think of these pristine mountains. They're saying Wyoming is ruining the groundwater with this gas production. But no, that was not the case. There was gas production. You know, there was gas there long before. The gas production did not corrupt the groundwater. So I mean, that was one of the stories we did. We went out and we debunked that story, and then we come right back over here and we go and we look at all the technology that's coming out that allows your oil and gas companies to operate and to leave a clean resource behind.
Well, gotcha. Herman, this is Vicki, and we are getting close to being out of time. Please, if you could just share with us, this is kind of going a different direction now from talking about
That's
our water.
Fine.
But share with us a favorite memory, whether it be from your bronc riding days or being from a book signing or something, you know, special that happened on one of the bridge programs. Tell us a special memory of yours, please.
Oh, well, you know, I'll tell you what. I was a single dad raising my daughter, and I guess that's going to be the greatest thing I ever did.
lots of memories there.
Yeah,
well, this is Donald Ann.
I can't hold just one hardly, but I mean, my daughter was in the wilderness with me when she was 6 years old, and so you know that. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Donald Ann.
Oh, hi, this is Donna Lynn. Hey, I just,
yes.
I really want to email you regarding the hunting and fishing. Western Wishes is actually starting a hunting and fishing program
cool.
within Western Wishes. And so I really would love to talk to you, but I really like the idea that you really do believe that this generation is in crisis as well. And as a writer, you know, the most important thing is to rein our kids in the right direction right now. And I just feel like that, I could have a good conversation with you. You might be able to, well, we might be able to have a really good talk about the same things that we're very, very passionate about.
All right, sure, yeah. Anybody want to give me a holler? I'm at hwb@thelostrider.com.
We got it. Yeah, thank you so much. It's been such an interesting interview, but
I hope I didn't talk your ear off.
No, Herman, this has been a great interview, and this is Becky, and we got about a minute till we close out, and I just want to say thank you so much. So for those that are listening, you can find Herman on Facebook. That's Herman Brune, B-R-U-N-E. And you can also, where else can they find you? What's the easiest way to look you up online? I Googled you, so I think that's probably the best way.
That's probably the easiest way is just Google Herman W. Brune and see what all pops up. You'll also find stuff about the Texas Historical Shooter Society, the Yopon Creek Silhouette Association, two clubs that utilize our place out here, and find out all about the cowboy action shooting and the long-range shooting that we do out here. You can look at that at thss.org and the Google Yopon Creek Silhouette Association. So,
well, Herman, we thank you so much. We appreciate you, and thank you so much for coming on tonight. I'm going to say goodnight, and I'm going to turn it over to Vicki to close us out. So thank you, Herman, and thank you, Donald and Vicki, for joining me tonight.
Yes, ma'am.
Herman, thank you so much, all your listeners. It's been a great evening. Donald Lynn, Becky, good night. And we're going to close out right now with a little cowgirl logic from Crystal Lyons. Good night, everyone.
Fear is something that everyone must deal with. We either face it or run from it. And I've found a couple of principles that minimize the fear factor greatly. One of which is, know you're in the will of God. When I know that I'm obeying God to the best of my ability, I have great confidence no matter what the situation looks like. People living outside of God's will, they don't have that kind of confidence. Years ago, I was riding rough stock, and I was entered in the girls' bareback bronc riding in a PRCA rodeo in Los Angeles, California. I had taken all my money just to get there and pay my fees, and I bucked off my first horse. I had only $20 left and another horse to get on. They were big, stout horses, and if I didn't win something, I was stuck in Los Angeles. The pucker factor was getting pretty intense. Right then, I heard the Lord down on the inside of me say, "Didn't I call you to this?" "Yes, Lord." "Then I'll take care of you. Get your eyes off yourself. Get your focus back on me." I repented, and peace returned in the midst of fear. My next horse was a bucker now, and it was the best ride I ever made. Crowd went wild. I won that go-around and placed well in the average. My confidence had shifted from me to him. The difference it makes is phenomenal. The other principle is this. When God is telling you to do something and you're afraid, do it afraid. When it is the will of God, face fear and you'll conquer it. Run from fear and it will conquer you. I have found that whenever I face something while I'm afraid, fear loses its grip over me. Give into it just a little, one area of your life, and it will begin taking over other areas. It seeks to rule and dominate. There is no neutral ground when dealing with fear. I'm Crystal Lyons, and this is Cowgirl Logic.
I want to take a moment to just give a special thank you to our show sponsors, ImageCoach.com, Soul Sister Enterprise, the Law Office of Corrine R. Walson, and to our station sponsors, Heart4.com and 4 International, where we elevate and empower those who are overcoming adversity.